And welcome back, True Believers. Frank Santoro here, Comics Weekend at the Pittsburgh Independent Comics Festival. Here we are with Ed Piskor looking through the long boxes. What are you looking at, Eddie? Harbinger.
Harbinger, is this a Dave L.
issue? Oh, that's a Valiant. Late. I like that. What is that? Valiant. I have no idea who drew this.
No, it's probably too late.
Howard Simpson. I remember just liking the colors on this one.
I like a lot of the Valiant colors. Like when I went to the Kubert School, a bunch of the teachers there were former Valiant colorists.
Oh yeah, tell us about this. So what's what do you think is the difference now that there are these cartooning schools like, you know, CCS up in Vermont, or in regards to like what the Joe Kubert School was for you, like how do you feel that those kind of schools differ?
Well, certainly I'm reading that Dan Clowes Conversations book, and he mentions like when he was a kid, like hearing rumors of the Kubert School coming into existence or whatever, and he really wanted to participate in that, but his parents weren't you know, that wasn't cool to them. And he goes on this long thing like, yeah, it's a good thing that I didn't too, because you don't really learn how to do comics. You learn how to sort of ape the style of, the cartoonist du jour of like the big two, and you reinterpret their stuff so that you could just make a buck. And that's what they teach you. Like, he's completely spot on.
But you know that from what I understand at CCS, that's exactly what they don't teach. And then what I see is a lot of stuff coming out of that school where there's very good, solid cartooning, but I don't know how many of those artists have individual styles that are pulled from a kind of common language, do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, you know.
Also, I mean, just from being around this area, and, like, economics is a big issue, the amount of cash that they're paying in to, like, participate in that school is interesting to me. Because, you know, we're not doctors and lawyers. Like, that's a lot.
Is that an expensive school?
I know it's, like, at least what, like, I mean, we could ask somebody, and I'm sure they'll be very forward.
Maybe James Sturm will leave a comment on the blog.
Hi, Mr. Sturm.
How's it going, Mr. Sturm? We're talking about you, but, you know, we love your school, but we're just trying to figure this out. Because there's no money in comics, and everybody knows that.
Just personally, like, I have this just seeing how, like, family live sometimes where they get deep in debt, and it's such a source of anxiety. Like, that was never something that I wanted to have in my life. So I can't imagine like having some sort of crazy debt from like what 3 years of going to CCS, and then, you know, putting your craft to use and paying back those loans. Like, seems very nerve-wracking, and just something that is that I don't have the fortitude to power.
Well, how do you feel about, like, when you... Okay, let's just use your Kubert School as a reference point, because you were saying... I've heard stories where you told me where a lot of the techniques that you were being taught at the Kubert School were pretty outdated by the time you were coming up, right?
Yeah, they taught us the, Ruby Lith overlay stuff, which was cool, which is fine. I really dug it. But, it is a business, and... we were sort of on the cusp of, like, the analog to digital. You know, this is year 2000 where it really started to become maybe more digital-focused. And the way they structured the courses, once you get to the third year, then you would have the privilege of learning the way they do shit nowadays. You know what I mean? And, even with the first stuff that I've ever done illustration-wise, if I would have submitted some sort of Ruby Lith or, like, some sort of Zipatone overlay color separations, I don't even know that these art directors would know what the hell.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so interesting.
But like, getting back just like to the financial part of it, when I went to Kubert School for 1 year, and then I realized, like, I'm gonna have to start paying this cash back, and it was like, I think when I went there, it was like $16K.
What? So for the year?
The year. Listen, man, that's cheaper than the Art Institute of Pittsburgh down there.
No, I know, but I guess, whatever. I went, whatever. I mean, things are so out of perspective. Like, when I went to school in the early 90s, like, my school was $12,000, and I was like, holy shit.
Right.
And then I dropped out because I didn't want to have loans and stuff.
Right. Like, that's the thing. So, like, what I did was, because I did go that full year, I stuck it out. I just am weird like that. And I got just, like, a regular job for, like, 3 years and, you know, got rid of that retarded debt
Because I think, okay, I don't know if we can segue into this properly, but like I think there's, so if there's people out there listening that are, you know, are studying to be cartoonists, want to be a cartoonist and stuff, and then, you know, they either look at yourself or myself and consider us on the other side of the fence, like we're doing what we want to do, but you know, we're not making any money at this, really, like we're just scraping by, and then it's like, are we in any position to be telling anybody what they should or shouldn't be doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's just no rules. Like, you could go to the Kubert School, you could go to CCS and then make $1 million the next day. Like, you know, you could go invent some video game and you'd be good, right?
Yeah, that's true. And, like, I'm just, these are recommendations that I'm sort of giving you that I would have probably have liked to have heard when I was starting out. And, you know, a lot of the stuff, like, I sort of try to live by, certainly live as frugally as possible.
Yeah, we were just talking about that earlier.
To just, you know, make sure there's like very little overhead and it seems like you can live and have a good time and be healthy.
Well, let's talk about the hustle, because I think you're one of the most, you know, interesting creators out there, because, you know, you've got this whole other audience that you've cultivated yourself that was a real I'm almost going to call it market research on your part. And, like, you know, just walk us through that a little bit for those who don't know. You're doing a comic about computer freaking, phone freaking, or computer hacking. And, you know, a lot of your audience is called from computer hackers themselves.
Right. People interested in high technology and whatever else.
So did you find that those fans were coming to the work itself, or was that something then you started kind of, you know, you started zeroing in on where those people could be found?
It's weird. Like, when I started it out, I kind of, thinking back on it, I kind of had just a weird ego, like, chip on my shoulder. Like, it was my idea to have Wired Magazine. I expected this to happen, and this is idiotic. Like, I'm like, okay, there'll be an article in Wired Magazine at some point. Like, I'm going to have them review it on Boing Boing and this site and that site. And like, I said, there was no other way, that there was no failure, like I was expected this to happen. And the reason that I thought it would happen that way was just because I feel like the material is really true to that sort of scene, but it's also a cohesive comic story that you don't need to be bogged down with all that sort of knowledge. So once I started making those people within that scene aware of it, and they started to accept it and talk about it and, like, allow word of mouth to spread a little bit, then I absolutely was like, okay, then this is definitely something that they're into. Like, I had a few people in mind whose material I absorbed while creating it. And once I sort of got their approval and that, you know, got some affirmation that they really dug it, then I'm like, okay, this is cool. Like, these guys really dig the stuff. Like, I'll start pushing it. I'll send it to this magazine. I'll send it to that magazine. And, you know, then they started, it got really cool because they started handling the...
Sort of fed on itself.
Yeah, the publicity without, you know, all it took was a stamp, basically, and to send it out. And I didn't have to kiss ass or anything like that. Like, they knew what to do. They knew what to do.
No, that's interesting. No, it's interesting. Because I just think that it's like you're not just hoping that, you know, that this audience will just appear out of nowhere. Like, there's some calculation to the audience. You know who you're, you know. I mean, we hear about that a lot. Do you think about the audience? Do you consider the audience? Do you consider, you know? And so I wondered, in the later books, as your understanding of the scene, that scene grew, did some of that not necessarily affect the way you were making the material or, you know, creating the work, but, you know, were you sort of like figuring out what maybe those fans like to read about or something? I mean, that's a weird question, but, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I had a pretty structured plot. I had have very definite destinations of where I want these characters to go and everything like that. The only concessions that I have made with the reader in mind or whatever is simply just my own, like, speed factor and wanting to make the book available at, like, a certain time whenever I say that it's going to be available. So maybe I, you know, just made sure that I either put a little extra time in and didn't hang out with friends one day to get a page done so I could stay on, like, my self-imposed schedule. But other than that, like the story, you know, the first two volumes are heavily steeped in that sort of scene and material. But like the last issue, it's a jail story. Like it has very little to do with hacking and whatever. And it's going to be interesting to see if I just completely cannibalize my readership once they get to that part. Like with some of the more famous hackers, like jail is a very important part of their personal stories. So I wanted that to be an important part of this character's story. So we'll see how.
See how that goes. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I'm not really worried about it.
No, it's interesting though. I mean, I just wondered about that because it's like a lot of people are just, you know, I don't have any like ninja conventions I can go to, you know, right. You know, there's no like, you know, like girl ninja comics. There's a certain ceiling, I think. You know,
I didn't know about these like hacker conventions really. Or there are these other things, they call them hacker spaces, which you can imagine are just like these workshops all around town. We have one called Hack Pittsburgh, which is really cool. I went down there and these guys created flamethrowers using just like weird, they're badass guys. But there's like all this stuff out there where I can cross-pollinate my two little niche audiences and create maybe a small audience from
third stream.
Yeah. So it's cool. And once I have the entire story done, it's sort of my idea to go around to the different hacker spaces, these hacker conventions, and comic shows, all three together. And, you know, I was on the road probably like 2 months out of this summer, and every show that I went to, I didn't lose money. So, you know.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's all we can ask for in this fucking, you know, I mean. Better than working at Burger King, right?
Yeah. There was Klaus Conversations book, there's the one, one of my favorite interviews he did in an early issue of Blab, where he's talking about, like, his financial situation, and he's like, I don't even make as much money as a guy working at McDonald's.
Yeah, it's totally, I love that book. That's a great, Ken Perel and Isaac Cates put that out. Yeah, it's great. I've been checking that out recently. Just give us the shout out, what you're working on, website one more time, do the whole deal.
Okay. Well, the comic is called WYSIWYG, and the website, I'm serializing pages, two pages a week, using that really ugly comic press, WordPress kind of format that you see all these, like, dorks use. And you can find that at WYSIWYGcomics.com.
Thank you, Ed Piskor, and we'll be back in a few moments. Thanks, Eddie.
All right, Frank.